And now, back to Tesh Matters with Jeff Boggs, New Iberia's only daily live call-in talk show.
Once again, we're back 45 minutes after 11 o'clock. Richard Hebert, Hebert's Garden Center in the house, and showing off some color, a little fall color maybe.
Jeff, exactly, very good. Fall is here.
I can read a calendar that much, you know.
Look, fall is here. It's official.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's official, but anyway, it's the last 2 days have been different.
It's only 84 degrees.
And the humidity's less, and so that combination makes it feel really, really good. So
I was disappointed this morning. I walked out a little bit, I guess right around 5:30, and it's still humid as heck. It's coming today then, I guess.
Right.
Tomorrow will be more reasonable.
But it's decent, and like you're saying, tomorrow better, Saturday just as good. And so we'll take it. Yeah, hey. And maybe it'll keep those storms kind of away from us, and you never know. But we're excited. So we started to bring in some color, and we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. I think it makes a difference. People are moving around. We can tell people want to get into the yard. Just any break in the weather gives a person a reason to get outside. And so we're excited, and so we're hopeful for a early fall.
There you go. And again, before we jump into the palette there, anything else you wanted to bring about?
No, we'll talk a little bit about lawns. And, you know, we talked last week about, you know, we haven't really seen the sod webworms. Watch for the little moths. That's going to be the thing. But not really an issue at this point. And they were a major issue at this point last year, big time. We're starting to see a few people come in, and there's fungus issues, and you can kind of see the fungus. The spots would be more uniform, not irregular, so you kind of see a rounding or some kind of symmetry involved, and that's a combination of brown spot, maybe a little leaf spot, but that's what's occurring. And we had a few people come in actually this morning with pictures, and boy, the cell phones, Jeff, are dynamite. You know, before it was really hard; the customer would have to describe it. And now they just bring a picture. Another thing I also ask is that picture is great, but like if you're taking a picture of a bug or a leaf that has problems, bring that too. You know, bring a leaf. But in this case, it's in the lawn. It's hard to bring an example. So the pictures work really, really good, and so we can ID it rather quickly. So that's kind of what's going on in the lawn. Same thing is temperatures are still hot, not extreme though. So I guess if you want to spot spray in between, this weekend might be a good time to go ahead and spot spray some weeds and lawn. But other than that, you kind of have to wait a little bit for it to get milder. But now that I'm thinking about it, it looks like tomorrow and Saturday might be an opportunity to kind of get something sprayed if you want to do it.
Sunshine, would you rather do it with clouds or?
I guess if you in an ideal world, this time of year, you would do it late in the afternoon, let's say time after 6 o'clock, and, you know, when temperatures are not as hot, and when it won't reach that peak the next day, and so that would be ideal. But pretty much overall, you know, not too bad. A lot of bug issues, but that's kind of normal. But again, the lawns, as of right now, are doing good. I did bring these two. Last time I talked about this, Jeff, I wasn't in-house, and it was talking about a shallot versus a multiplying onion. If you look at them, Jeff.
It would be tough to tell those apart.
Tough to tell apart at all. And so what he's looking at is basically onion tops, planted onion tops.
Now, there is something coming out of the base on the one to your right. Am I seeing that? Or
And this. But you would think, okay, Jeff, which one's the multiplying onion and which one is the shallot?
You know, the one that has more shoots might give it away. I don't know.
You would stand to reason, but wrong answer.
There you go.
But anyway, the truth is that...
That's a stick. That isn't a shoot. I'm just noticing you got a little sign in there, like a decoration.
It says shallot. Yeah. I couldn't show you that. But the truth of the matter is that what Jeff's looking at is the shallot has more suckers at the bottom, rhizomes that are sprouting new tops. But the one that's going to make more bottoms will be the multiplying onion.
Okay.
And that's going to multiply a lot more than the shallot will. The shallot's going to end up making a little bit bigger bottoms, whereas the multiplying onion is going to make smaller bottoms, but a bunch more tops. And usually that's what the people want. But you're right. If someone mixed this up and showed it to me, there's no way I could ID the difference between one or the other.
Flavor any different?
Not really. About the same. You know, a chive will be a little bit milder than an onion top, a multiplying onion. The main difference between a chive and a multiplying onion is the tops. And with Jeff looking at those tops are a good, quarter inch in diameter, and they're really coarse, I guess is the best way to describe it. Where a chive is much finer. And so
it's almost like a grass.
It really is. It really is. And but it cooks
down. I remember we had a neighbor who would grow those, and I would love to chew on them.
Yeah, and so chives or they cook down more, so you don't see them in the food, and you can also sprinkle them on top, and they're not as coarse. So in terms of texture, they would be a lot better. But man, the Cajuns down here really they want. Multiplying onions, and that's what they used to put in the gumbos, that'll cook down and the rice dressings and all the other foods that we cook. So I want to talk a little bit about fall colors. So, we actually started to bring in some fall plants that you can plant early. Won't go all – I mean, you talk about last year and the cold weather, right? I mean, we had a cold winter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about that. We had a cold week.
Yeah, exactly.
So it wasn't a cold winter – up till that week, Jeff,
it was just long enough to ruin a bunch of tropicals. That's all.
That's pretty much what it did, and it was a tough cold week. But really, up to that point, which was in about the middle of February or the second week of February, it was extremely mild. So mild to the point that annuals had overwintered. I mean, what I'm fixing to say is, a lot of stuff here.
And for what it's worth, I just saw a text alert or an app alert say that it's official. This summer has been the hottest on record.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah,
but I believe it. I believe it. It's
and that's globally, not just locally.
Right. I mean, it was the only reason I hesitate on that one, Jeff, is that it was an overcast summer. We had a lot of rain, not volume of rain. I'm talking about the consistency of it. So we had a lot of overcast days. So
true.
In a way, it didn't get as hot as it would normally get, but it was certainly miserable. That's for dang sure.
Instead of the 30% chances of rain every day, it seemed like it was 50 to 60. And like you say, cloudy.
And there was a stretch there where we pretty much got rain every day. So that kind of kept the temps down. But it's definitely different. But I guess the point of what I'm saying is about the mild winter is that a lot of these plants, normally I tell people, you can figure they'll go till middle, end of November and December. And usually we get a frost or a freeze that knocks them out. Well, last year that didn't happen. The frost or freeze never came until February. But when it came, it came. And so that's kind of the difference. The point of what I'm talking about here is that if you're going to plant intermediate color, try to do with the schemes of fall. And, the big colors in the fall are red, orange, and yellow. That's the big ones. And a lot of people will use the mums. And the mums are great for fall. And the reason you see so many mums utilized in the fall is because they bloom in the fall season. They bloom very early, and they bloom very fast. So they can give you a quick show fast and relatively inexpensive as opposed to some other type of plant. So mums are relatively cheap for what you're getting. And even though they only bloom for a short period of time, you get that splash of color in the fall season, which is generally October. And so, our first load of mums is coming this week, and that'll start off with, the oranges and the yellows and the reds, and those will look good. But some other ones that you can utilize, and some ones that I brought in, and I've talked about peppers in the past, Jeff. I just brought the two peppers. One is around and one is long. Peppers are a great fall because fall is harvest also.
Yeah.
So, but
those have not turned color. One looks like there's a couple of them.
That's the little round ones, orange.
Is that a flower?
No, that's actually the pepper. A little round. They look like a little marble.
Yeah.
And these are a little long. Actually, they look like a little Tabasco pepper, but they're not. They call them missile peppers. But basically, fall is also harvest. So things that are in production is great and the looks of. But this one right here is one called Purslane. It's really thought of as a summer annual. that gives you a lot of color. But they come in, this is a red, they come in orange, and they come in yellow. It's kind of orange, actually.
I was going to say, yellow, yeah. I've always associated with a purslane.
That's right. And you know, I tell my customers who are willing to listen, I said, you know, about 50% of those plants I sell out there are weeds because someone brought in a purslane. It was growing in the flower bed, and purslane is a weed. You can ask the sugarcane farmers. They spray for that all the time. So these have just been hybridized so that the colors are – the flowers are pretty, and they're easy to grow.
Yeah.
And but
they grow like weeds.
That they grow like weeds. And this is a great one for fall color. Another one that is traditionally thought of as a summer – or spring annual is marigolds.
Mm.
And marigolds, again, have the fall color. You can get them at a stage where they're just budding or in bloom, and they will bloom the whole month of October with no problem. And, again, you get in the fall colors.
Do they require, and I'm asking this because they kind of give you that effect of a mum, too. Mums seem to, at least my history with them, require a lot of water. And I'm wondering if those require as much.
No, they don't. And then really the reason the mums require so much water is because they are grown in a way that they can be grown relatively inexpensively for a grower. So they use less soil. They can actually tolerate some drought. So they grow them they put a big plant in a small container with less soil. So it's light. It transports very easily. You get a big plant in a small area, it will last in a pot, you know, for a period of time without water. But they sow cheaply. So they can get a cheap product out there that won't last long. The mums are perennials. That means they'll come back. But in terms of the color, you're going to get about anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks of color out of a mum. And then if you save it and plant it, then it'll bloom in the spring.
Okay.
But 90% of the people don't do that. So I guess the bottom line of mum, if you would repot that mum that you buy in the store, brush up the roots, plant it in the container, it would take a lot less water because it has more soil.
Gotcha.
So it's really not the plant. It's more to do with how they propagated and shipped. So marigold, but you're right, Jeff. It, in very many ways, it looks like a mum, a little bit different. But
it gives you that kind of effect.
Yeah. Absolutely. And these will hold up good. Again, they're an annual, but they give you a big splash of the fall color. And then this is one I just bought, kind of a little different. And this is Cassandra, and it's an orange, again, the fall color. And many people plant this in the spring. It's a tropical, so sometimes they'll put them in a pot, and they'll just overwinter them. And again, going back to last year, Jeff, if you had a plant in the pot and you were able to bring it in, the only time for that winter you had to bring that plant in was roughly about 5 days. That's it. Other than that, you didn't have to deal with it. So you would have overwintered your hibiscus or whatever. But the Cassandra is a pretty one because of the orange look. And it's different. The leaves are glossy.
I was going to say, the glossy leaves really stand out.
Stand out. And kind of the unique shape of the flower itself. But it does real well. And, again, if it was like last year, this would bloom all fall well into the winter and do well. But if you did get cold, it would definitely need, some protection. Zinnias, and I don't think I bought any zinnias in, but zinnias are another good one that even though it's thought of as a spring-type plant, it'll bloom all fall but has the fall colors, the yellows, the reds, and the orange. So you have the fall color zinnias. Most people think of zinnias as the tall cut flower zinnias, but there are also some short ones that make smaller flowers, but look more like a little bush rather than a cut flower type flowers. And that's kind of the ones we will get in the fall. And they do well. And then petunias is another one we brought in. Petunias are a classic fall plant. You can plant them now. You can wait. Those will go generally all winter long. So that's not one you'd want to get in early. You could, but you wouldn't necessarily have to. You could plant that in actually November, October, November with no problem. And those would do well. And the only one that some people are getting antsy about, Jeff, would be the pansy way too early. That's your flower in your neck of the woods over there. And they do great the further north you go. It's just that in the south, you've got to wait really almost late October,
November. That's
why they're
called pansies. They can't take the heat.
And but, boy, they can sure take the cold. to the extent of last year when we got down to whatever we got down to, 16, 17 degrees, didn't affect the pansy at all. Yeah. In fact, not only did it not affect the pansy, it didn't affect the flower. The flower froze solid and just melted and was as pretty, if not prettier, because of the cold temperatures. So that's kind of a unique thing. And
how long will they bloom once they start?
Pretty much till it gets hot.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why we've kind of pushed, you know, and I take pride in the fact that we kind of push the area over the last 30 years to not to give on the up on the petunia. And the reason is that many winters, our winters are very, very warm. And so the pansies just don't perform well. They just don't like it. Even though it's not hot, they just don't like those warm temperatures, you know. And so whereas the petunia would thrive in that. And so you know, sometimes if it gets really, really hot, Jeff, in the, you know, in January, which it can, you know, it can be in the mid-80s, and you miss a water in there, it really affects the pansy a lot. So, you know, we see a lot more petunias today than we've ever had in terms of people growing in the winter, and we're slowly teaching you know, our customers that, you know, the fall is the best time to plant those things. And because they'll come in looking in February, they'll say, I want to plant those petunias because I see them all over town. They're gorgeous. And we'll say, yeah, you can plant them now, but it's going to take a little while for you to get them. And they develop some heat-tolerant varieties when it comes to the petunias, but they haven't really developed a pansy, as you said, Jeff, that could take the heat.
You know, we talk about the idea that, you know, maybe you don't, you want to wait a little bit, but we often say, well, but if you do want to plant now, you got to take care of it. Is that at all
situation? And that's true. And depending on what you're planting, like right now, you would not let anything, you know, want to dry out because it will dry out fast and head south on you really fast. Whereas temperatures get milder, it just kind of gives you a little window of making a mistake, the way I like to put it. And but if you do want to get an early start, there are some plants that you can definitely get an early start. Just know that they may not last all winter, but they certainly will last a good portion of it. And then you would, you know, if you wanted to save some spots for more of your winter stuff, such as snaps and petunias and pansies, and just some of the things that we know can take the colder or cooler weather with no problem, whereas some of these may not. They may not die, but they may not look as good. So you got some options now. If you've been looking at that drab landscape and you want to make something to go, you do have some options at this point. And you just, as you just said, you just gotta watch it and make sure as the temperatures get hot again, and they will. You just make sure they stay wet, and you'll be fine.
Very good. Anything else before we let you go?
The last thing I want to talk about is, you know, we get a lot of vegetables in. You can start now. No rush. But lettuce is one we get a lot of questions on, and I used to tell people, Jeff, that you got to plant lettuce when it's cool because if you don't, they go to seed. But one thing I've learned, and I don't know, maybe it was online or a customer told me, is that if you plant your lettuce just closer together, and instead of planting, let's say, a head of lettuce, or depending on the type, anywhere from 12 to 18 inches apart, instead of spacing them that far apart early, space them 6 inches apart. So what happens is that when they get about 12 inches tall, and I'm talking about leaf lettuce now, not head lettuce. When it gets 12 inches tall, in that row of 20 feet, you're going to have enough lettuce easy to cut and utilize before it goes to seed because you plant them close together. Now, did they reach maturity and make a nice, upright, leafy plant? No. But you got your early lettuce in. And, you know, the biggest thing is you don't want to let them get too big because when it's warm and big, are two problems is that they go to seed, which means once they go to seed, that's it. And they will start to get bitter. And so if you let that plant get too big early, they will go to seed on you, or even before they go to seed, will get bitter. So even though you're cutting the leaves, they won't taste as good. So what you do is keep the moisture consistent. That's one factor. And then don't let them get too big in an early planting. But some people want to plant those seeds, want to get lettuce early. That's a smart way to do it. It makes a lot of sense to me. Plant a bunch of seeds, let them come up. But instead of getting 2 feet tall or 18 inches tall, you may let them get 6 or 8 inches tall. And then you just cut it. And now you got a bunch of lettuce that's mild. And then you replant in October in the cool season. And so I thought that was interesting. It's a smart idea.
Very good.
And, Jeff, other than that, that's it. I'm glad we dodged a bullet. How is Jerry doing down
south? Not great, but they're surviving.
Yeah.
You know, fortunately, a generator came through once again. Thanks to Harry and Electrical Innovators getting him back online to some degree, but a lot of damage. His family lives down some old family property, and they were all hit in some form or fashion, you know.
Right. Is the radio station back up?
It is.
Okay, good.
Much, much quicker than they thought. And again, thanks to Harry.
Good. Harry's important.
Absolutely. But anyway, always a pleasure, Richard. We'll look forward to the next time.
Thank you, Jeff.